I don't either.
I guess I'm supposed to start. Am I starting now, Neil? Is that it? Hello out there, world. Are we on the air?
Yes,
March,
sir.
All right, thank you. March 17 at Santa Anita, the grade one $300,000 Santa Margarita Invitational Stakes was won by Include Me Out, a four-year-old filly by Include. Bred by Bird and C. Jones and sold as a yearling for $150,000. Include Me Out is two for two this year. Went into the Santa Margarita off a victory in the grade two La Canada Stakes, also at Santa Anita. That same day at Oaklawn, She's All In by Include ran second in the Grade 3 Azari Stakes. That was her third stakes placing of the year. She won three stakes last year, two the year before. Include Me Out is the fifth Grade 1 stakes winner by Include. Six others have placed in Grade 1 stakes, including Open Water in the Grade 1 Las Virgines this year. That's why you should always take a good look at the Includes when they walk into the sales ring. Include a Grade 1 Stakes winner and Grade 1 sire stands for 12,500 live foal and Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Ask about possible breeding incentives and check the website at airdriestud.com. The Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Well, good morning once again, everybody.
Yeah, that was a good start. That was excellent.
You liked that start?
I loved it. It woke me up.
Is it? Boy, I needed it, you know what?
Oh, yeah, that was so funny. Last night, Ursula plotted all week. Learned how to record on a tape. So he recorded the game because it's late. It was so late, and we have to be in here. He has to be in here so early. So he plotted and bought tapes and learned how to do the thing and sat out there and punched play and tried to come to bed, couldn't go to sleep. Wound up. What time did you come to bed? After the game?
After the game, of course. Well, I woke up, you know, I went in there and I tossed and turned and everything. Finally, it was a quarter to 12, and I said, well, the damn game ought to be over by now. So I got up to go turn off the VCR, and there were 14 minutes left in the game. I didn't get to bed forever.
I know, you know, and everybody's stopping by the Cocker stand this morning, not talking about horses. They're talking about the game.
I know.
Mort Shirazi was just up here. He said he still couldn't. He's still talking about it.
Yeah, he was even late getting in.
Yeah.
He stayed up to three. We watched the replays.
Oh, my God.
He's worse than me. Well, what are we going to do today? Oh, well, first of all, let me plug the winners from out here, because there's a bunch of them. This might take half show right here. We have had, since last week's show, 20 winners out
of
here. That's 47 on the month so far. So let me name the names of these trainers from here at the Thoroughbred Center. The saddle winners since last week, Oscar Modica started it all off, Kellen Gorder, Karen Vecchio, Robert Sturgeon, Floyd Cobb, Tom Bergen, Jack Jones, Jim Cullen, Troy Rankin, Brian Michael, Tommy Mills, John Langemeyer, Greg Begley, Adolfo Marcias, that's Paul, Kellen Gorder, Oscar Modica had his second, Tommy Short, Amalio Garcia, that's Paul again, he had two, and who else? Oh, Oscar had two. Otherwise, it's just one each. I think that's the way it works out. Dan Pitts and Marco Castaneda. So having a pretty good month from out here at the Thoroughbred Center. Track sloppy this morning, so I didn't have much to do as a clocker.
Yeah.
Sit in here and talk to Holly Turner over here, who is our EMS.
And,
nobody even came down to see us. Nobody visited this morning, did they?
Well, what you call us just here? Matt and Dutcher were here.
Matt brought his little boy.
Mort was here.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Well, hell, Mort just got here, for God's sake. Okay. Well, what else? We're going. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you what I'm doing. People ask me who I was going to have.
As if you knew.
It never comes out that way, does it? For today's show, somebody asked me who you got on the show today.
And
I said, I've got Mr. Ira Dryman. I've got Mr. Charlie Sturgill. I've got Mr. A.B. Bull Hancock, Jr. I've got Leslie Combs II. Now, how are you going to do all that? We're coming up on Man of War's birthday. And so I'm going to replay the funeral Man of War. Last 26 minutes, we're going to play it in the second hour. Going to start probably at about a quarter after, because I've got to get my commercials in, you know. I've got to eat.
Yeah.
So.
And that Sam Adams, they don't give that away.
Yeah.
Now, Man of War's birthday is next Thursday.
It's the 29th. Yeah, 29th.
Yes.
Yeah, it was when he was four. But anyway, I'm going to play that. And it's really, it's good.
Oh, it's good. And it's real interesting because it was originally recorded on a 33 and a third record, correct?
Yeah.
Which, of course, was the hot technology of the day. So it's a little scratchy, but that gives you the feeling of being there. You know, it's very good.
Yeah, it was on another station. But that was around at that time, but that's all.
One of the other stations.
One of the other.
Were there two at that time?
That might have been the only AM station around. You know, there wasn't any FM.
No.
Not
before hippies. Hippies invented FM.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so we're going to play that in honor of Man of War. You know, I was talking to Bob Copeland the other day, bumped into Bob, and Bob asked me, did Man of War ever run clockwise instead of counterclockwise? You know, clockwise like it do in England. I says, I don't know. He says, well, I saw a picture of him the other day, you know, and it looked like it was a race going clockwise. I remember seeing that picture.
Yeah.
I've seen it myself, but I'm not nearly as sharp as Bob. Bob's real inquisitive.
Right.
So he made me go home and look it up. And from 1905 until 1923, they ran it clockwise.
At Belmont Park. Because Gussie Belmont built that thing to look as English as he could.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a perfect copy of an English race course.
Yeah.
And put it up there, and that was his idea. And they fussed and fussed for how long?
I don't know, but so from 1905 until 1923.
Mm-hmm.
Except for 1910, 1911, when the politicians outlawed racing up there. I didn't know David Williams was alive at that time.
Must have been.
They probably had a casino across the river in New Jersey.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Now, I knew that because John Tanner Foote, whose books, his writings I love, mentioned that somewhere because they used to call it the God Save the King racetrack when it was first opened, because everything was set up that way. There you are.
All right, and what else we're going to do? Dr. Doug Byers will be here, and of course Michael Bloin. There were some young ladies here yesterday from Ohio State that have been visiting.
No Michael.
Visiting. No Michael. Well, anyway, visiting old friends. And I think they were helping out, doing something out there.
Painting fences, I think.
Is that right?
That's what he said. Doing whatever they could. Working with the horses and doing all that stuff.
Okay.
So.
Well, I look like about 10 or 12 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Stood right down here in front of the clock stand, watched horses for a long time.
Were they vet students? Or?
I know.
No?
They're just students.
Just students?
Yeah. They said they decided to come here rather than go to the beach.
My God, were they all ugly?
No, very, very attractive young ladies, as a matter of fact. It made my day.
I'll bet it did. Yeah. Did you see that thing on television where they interviewed a bunch of kids down at Panama City Beach, on their spring break? What's the national debt? And one girl said, I think $9 trillion.
And that's at a gazillion.
A gazillion, yeah. Something like that. Anyway, they were so funny. So the guy went back. And of course, I didn't know what that was when I was in college. Good grief. But this jerk that interviewed him said, well, they were all SEC. UK, University of Kentucky and University of Alabama. And I thought, well, fool on you.
Yeah, wonder where he's from.
I don't know.
Yeah, he can go back far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
All right. Our electricians are still working on the house. And, hey.
Michael Bloin's on the tardy list.
Michael's on the tardy list?
Yes.
He was born tardy. Jackie, let me do some commercials. She had to grab a hold of she talks more than one human I've ever seen. Well, last Saturday at Oaklawn, the grade 2 half-a-million-dollar Rebel Stakes was won by Secret Circle. a 3-year-old colt by Eddington, and the next day Flat Bowl by Flatter, won the time-tested stakes in New York. The even money favorite in the field of 12, Secret Circle, is a leading contender for the upcoming Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. He's won 5 of 6 starts, including the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn. His only loss was a second in his first start this year. That was in the Grade 3 Sham Stakes out at Santa Anita. Winner last year of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint at Churchill and the Jack Goodman Stakes at Santa Anita, Secret Circle has earned nearly $819,000. Flat Bowl score in the time-tested stakes boosted his earnings to over $329,000. He was sold as a yearling for $150,000. Flatter, a proven Grade 1 sire and a son of A.P. Indy, stands for $15,000. Grade 1 millionaire Eddington for $5,000. Both stand at Claiborne Farm, and their fees are payable when the foal stands in nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, March 17 in Louisiana, the Au Revoir Stakes was won by Wicked Vow, a 3-year-old. Well, he's the son of Broken Vow. His win comes on the heels of Geminator score in the John B. Campbell handicap over at Law. Wicked Vow and Gemator were 2 of Broken Vow's 23 2011 stakes horses. Wicked Vow was stakes placed up in Canada. Gemator won the Grade 3 Fred W. Hooper Stakes in Florida. Also listed among those 23 stakes horses of 2011 was Sassy Image, Broken Vow's 4th Grade 1 stakes winner. She won both the Grade 1 Humana Distaff and the Grade 1 Princess Rooney. Broken Vow also sired 19 2-year winners last year. 6 of them won a place in stakes. He sires runners, and that's why his 2011 sales yearling sold for up to $440,000. His sales 2-year-olds for up to $375,000, and the third highest price for a colt at the recent 2-year-old sale out at Barrett's was $280,000 for a Broken Vow. Broken Vow stands for 25,000 live foal of Pin Oak Stud, home also of Bob and John, Cowboy Cow, Sky Classic. Inquiries at Clifford Berry, see the website, pinoakstud.com.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do, can do.
All righty. We were talking about our house getting struck by lightning about 3 or 4 weeks ago. They had to rewire the whole darn house. And it's taken forever, but there's so much to do, and they're doing
right.
A great job.
Yeah, they really are. They're doing it as fast as they can.
Oh, I know, but, you know.
And they're great guys. It's Linville Electric.
Well, we had down in Paris. But we had a little bit of a delay because they went down in the crawl space, and there was a snake.
Yeah. Guy came up, he said, I'm never going down that crawl space again. But he took a picture of it.
Yeah, took a picture of it, but yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
That's how we knew what it looked like. And he went and looked at it. It looked like a copperhead.
Yeah. Well, a good friend of ours, Terry Tubbs, he does so much for us.
Yeah, we'd have to move if it wasn't for Terry Tubbs.
We call Terry.
We can't. Ursel can't fix anything.
Hell, I can't tie my shoes.
Or plug in a toaster. But you did learn to film tape the game. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so we called Terry. Terry went down there. We were to spread mothballs because we have been told by so-called snakes.
Guaranteed Pest Control that comes out and takes care of our, you know, those bees, those bees that get in the barn. Yeah. Guaranteed Pest Control comes out in the spring and sprays. And then otherwise, pretty soon you don't have a barn. You just have a big building of holes.
So we said, Terry went under there with the mothballs. And the next thing we know, he says, I see him.
Yeah.
I see he's down here. Hand me that .22. Well, I've got a little .22 Henry lever action, you know, and
They didn't want my Glock.
Chickens. I got a Smith and Wesson.
Yeah,
you know,
right. 38, they didn't want those.
But, you know, I thought maybe the .22 would be a little bit better. Might not ricochet quite as much down there. We got a stone foundation. Anyway, Terry got him. Nailed him. Came out, and it was so funny. He came out with him. So Jackie got the camera.
Yeah.
And she had him stand up there with a gun in one hand and a snake in the other, like a big game hunter.
I ought to put that on the webpage. That's hilarious.
Terry, if you're listening to this, you're my hero.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So now everything smells like mothballs. I wonder if that damages your brain, smelling mothballs.
Couldn't hurt ours.
You got to have a brain.
Brain does. Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't hurt us at all. What are you doing, Doc?
Well, went out of town for a few days and got back, and so.
Well, I'm glad you got back in town.
Were you on vacation or were you working?
Working.
Ah, we're out of the country?
Yeah.
Okay. I won't ask you where, because I know you don't like
it. It's all on the QT. It's all on the QT.
All right.
On the QT, that means he was off playing golf somewhere. And
well, exactly. Right.
Probably. If I played golf, I can only remember when I was about 21, maybe. My buddies took me out to a golf course. And whatever they call a slice.
Oh, I know exactly about slice.
I redefined it. I can hit that ball at a 90-degree angle every time.
Pete's, that's boomerang.
I used to play some golf with Pete Salmon. You know Pete?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, and he would stand with facing the green. And he would hit that ball and it would go way to the left and come back every time. He knew what he was doing. Pete was one of the few guys I could outscore. He and Woody Coyle. And I haven't played since I fell in Stoner Creek. So that's
right?
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you that one. We were out playing now at Stoner Creek. And the one, I think it's number 5. But the putting green goes right up and it's about a 5-foot drop down into Stoner Creek. So he's playing, and he's doing pretty good, see. So he's up there ready to putt, and you know how you hold the putter up by the end, and you swing it back and forth, and you line it up, and you squat down, and you look. He went through all these machinations. He was going to hit this putt. Backed up to get a better look, and went right over into that creek. And you've never heard such cussing. It was some Navy words. All I could see was the putter. Up over, swinging that putter over his head.
It was a steep drop. I was in water up to my waist.
All I knew was that I had to keep my mouth shut. If I laughed, I was dead. I'd be in the creek, too, see? So he comes squirking up the side of that creek. I said, well, I guess we're going in. We're going to play this. We played the rest of that stupid squish, 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 squish. Oh, it was hysterical.
I was so embarrassed. I looked around hoping nobody saw
it. There wasn't anybody there but me, and I couldn't laugh till we were finished.
Me either.
It was great.
Doc, don't let us interrupt you.
Whatever. So, I guess topic-wise,
yeah,
I was thinking about talking about some things I'd talked about before, so then I changed my mind.
Okay.
And nobody gives me a topic, and like in the old days when I started doing this, they just, you know, I have to wing it and hope that somebody out there is interested. Well, I just finished a book that Dr. Fred Peterson sent to me. Mm-hmm. It's called Where the River Runs North, mm-hmm, by Sam Morton. And basically, it's about the domestication or the horse's contribution to this civilized world in North America.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a lot of interesting things. The value of the horse was so instrumental that if Indians were fighting or cavalry was fighting or anything else, right on up to World War I, the horses were so valuable they would slaughter them so the enemy wouldn't get them. Mm-hmm. So the horses made a lot of sacrifices. The domestication really kind of evolved like we kind of know the history books tell us, from the little teeny horse with four toes to the solipede, that we have today. And so I got to thinking about, you know, just explaining why this particular animal has all the attributes that has allowed us to capitalize. And of course, his athleticism is premier, and that a lot of that came out of the Arabians. And this book was set in Montana, and lots of thoroughbred influence. Kentucky was premier, and this is back way back in the early 1800s. But they went to Kentucky and got thoroughbreds as well. They went to Europe and got thoroughbreds, because I didn't realize that polo was such a tremendous influence.
Well, I didn't know then.
Yeah, so they had polo ranches that would export horses all over the world from Montana. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so they bred thoroughbreds into them.
To Mustangs?
Whatever there was. Now, most of the superior horses belonged to the Indians, because the Indians were real horsemen.
Right.
And so they recognized good horses, and they recognized the stamina and what they would put them through, because they would hunt from them, and they would do all the other things that they needed to do. And, of course, they'd eat them, too. Everybody would eat them when they needed to, do that. So the book really is kind of a nice setting. I would recommend it for anybody.
What's the name of it again?
Where the River Runs North.
Okay.
By Sam Morton. But it kind of takes you up to about 1937, where the horse was, well, it takes you right up to modern day, really. But
modern.
Yeah. In 1937, the military recognized that horses weren't pivotal to military efforts anymore.
Yeah, good.
And then they erased them from the USDA, so they got no financial support. The horse stands on its own. It's like a dog and cat. It has no benefit of funding like food chain animals have, which you've got to have that.
Yeah.
Sorry. But the horse is a creature that is required to have benevolent contributions. And, of course, my big gig, you all know me well enough that I am very disappointed this industry doesn't put their brains together and say, we're going to get sustained funding. Every horse that does such and such is going to put a dollar toward their health and welfare.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they do. And, of course, the biggest example I make of that is that you can go to a horse show, you can go to a horse race, and these are wonderful attributes. But this race is for handicapped people. This race is for breast cancer. This race is for that. Yeah, but you can't find a show or a horse race that is named to benefit the horse.
Right. Yeah.
And we just have a disconnect. I really think that's probably. Yeah. Anyway, I want to talk about the horses' physiology a little bit. I've touched on a lot of things before. The Arabian was pivotal in developing the stamina and the athleticism. The thoroughbred was pivotal in developing the desirable physical attributes. They weren't small. They could put size on horses, and they were very athletic. So throughout the 1800s, the thoroughbred had a tremendous influence. So when horses were first domesticated, because they were herd animals, and the Indians and whoever throughout the world could feed them, and they would come in as herds. Well, they were food. They were an agricultural product.
Right.
And then somebody jumped on their back. Mm-hmm. Probably went for a hell of a ride.
I bet they did.
Yeah. But that changed everything, because the horse is very malleable. I mean, if you think about their mind.
What you can teach them to do.
Yes, and they're naturally claustrophobic.
And they don't forget a damn thing.
Right. And they're claustrophobic, so how do we get them in these starting gates? How do we get them in a trailer? How do we do this and do that? So that's a big part of their mind. Their psyche is a flight animal. Mm-hmm. Right. They are designed to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And they can do it in ways that we capitalize on once they're trained, once they've been exposed. Their spleen carries 20 to 30% of a reserve of red cells. So when they release adrenaline, the spleen contracts, and they've got a power pack in their circulation.
All right.
Their red cells are very, very small, And if you look at them under a microscope, they're in chains called rouleaux. And so they get into the capillaries and they oxygenate the tissues. So when they need that muscle to get plenty of oxygen, they've got this system that no other animal really has. Mm-hmm. Oops. And so they oxygenate, and we know that we have what we call slow twitch and fast twitch,
right.
twitch fibers.
Right.
And so, and we don't have a good way of demonstrating that at the sales and showing all this stuff, but the combination of genetics influences that and how much the muscle is going to need and how long it, a certain breed or individual is going to be able to go without building up lactic acid. So that's a big part of their athleticism because they have stamina built in. I've talked before about their heart. It's we have type A fibers, which means, and the dog does too, that the electrical event goes a straight line from the top to the bottom and then slowly polarizes. The horse has what we call type B instead of the type A, where they have a Purkinje, which is the electrical system, that immediately when it leaves the front gate, it starts curving back. And so the heart contracts with tremendous force, tremendous electrical activity. So it's a very, very efficient machine that we have there. Let me see if I can remember some of the other parts. Their spleen, now their tendons and their ligaments, they don't have muscle below their knees or their hocks. So tendon is when the fibers, which are elastic and give him the spring, originates from muscle and attaches to bone. A ligament originates from bone and attaches to bone.
Right.
So it's a different system, and of course the tendons have a little more elasticity, so obviously they can bow. You can take them beyond
That's okay. Go ahead.
So anyway.
So, and let me ask you something real quick. Let me say this. That's why they can stand in snow.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother them because if muscle stands in snow too long, it freezes.
Right. And the vasculature down on the lower limbs is very poor. So healing is poor. It takes forever to heal a tendon or a ligament as opposed to a muscle. So that's part of it. Their hooves are, they've gone from a four-toed animal to a one-toed, called soliped. So like cattle are cloven hoof. But the horse has traction. And that's where these divots come up. If the cow could take off at the speed that a horse could take off, probably would stay in one spot for a long time because it can't get any traction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ah.
But the horse will kick up the divot and send it 40 feet behind you.
Uh-huh.
So they have this ability, and of course, we want our racetracks to enhance that or capitalize on it by giving the horse the traction that they need. Yeah. You get too much traction, and they bow a tendon, or the track is too deep. So a lot of those things become big factors. But their respiratory track, we've talked about that before. Their nose, they're an obligate nasal breather. They don't breathe through their mouth like we do. So when the air goes up into that nose, it gets humidified, spun around to where all the particles are filtered against the wall and expelled slowly by the ciliary hairs later. Gets back to this throat that needs to be big and get plenty of air down into the lungs. Their lungs are unique in that they're just like we are. You got two big lobes. Cows have, I think, five lobes.
Really?
But they have two big lobes, and so they suck that air down there, and there's no additional turbulence once it gets past the nose or the upper airways. So it efficiently provides for that. Anyway, I'm going on and on here, but the mind of the horse, have you all seen that movie Buck?
No.
No.
It's a Western, I mean, one of these horse whisperer type movies. But he explains in that movie, the mind of the horse is really, people are the mind of the horse. The horse picks it up off people, and a horse that is in the escape mode will run over you if he's got nowhere else to dodge or go. And we think about, I think about Tabasco Cat.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
You know, the horse didn't do it anything intentionally. Just he was trapped.
Yeah. It's like they don't see. They just run straight ahead.
Well, and his escape route was blocked. And yeah. Jeff was in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
A rogue, and in this movie called Buck, a rogue will go for you.
Yeah.
He's not going to go around you. He's after you. And they show one attacking a guy. And it's a pretty dramatic scene.
I bet you.
But, and those horses in the old days, if they had a rogue, veterinarians would do funnel lobotomies.
Yeah, they would.
And it didn't work.
But
the horse would usually die. You know, but they would do all these.
Doc, I got to take a break.
Yep. Okay, then we'll come back because I want to ask some questions. Okay.
All right. Well, Mizzen Mass is well on his way to yet another solid year at stud. Ultimate Eagle, one of three Grade 1 stakes winners by Mizzen Mass, has won the Grade 2 $120,000 Stroob Stakes. His earnings are over $467,000. Now, Ms. Direction has won the Grade 3 Monrovia Stakes and the Clocker's Corner Stakes at Santa Anita this year. She won stakes at Del Mar last year, placed in three other stakes, two graded. She's earned over $300,000. The three-year-old colt Lord Sinclair is an undefeated stakes winner in France. Z Dagger on the Derby Trail has placed in two graded stakes at the fairgrounds. And the three-year-old filly Wicked Miz has stakes placed in New York. That's five stakes horses, two graded stakes winners already this year. There is always another Mizzen Mass. Grade 1 stakes winner and Grade 1 sire Mizzen Mass stands for $12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Home also the Grade 1 Speedster First Defense. Bond Bridal Song out of the Grade 1 Stakes winner, Honest Lady by Seattle Slew. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. I want to say a little bit about my friend Tom Biedemann. Biedemann Real Estate and Auctioneers. And, Jackie, have you looked at his website lately?
Oh, sure. He's got so much nice stuff. It's amazing. The place next door to this. If you're interested in training and... you want a nice place, a nice base. This place over here is absolutely fantastic. It's got a wonderful barn. It's got an apartment, I know, in the barn. Beautifully equipped, you know. Stalls, you know, washing racks and all that kind of stuff.
Got a round pen?
They got a round pen. I'm looking at it from here, and they've got all kind of turnout space and a gorgeous house. That place is for sale. It's super. It is listed for a little over $2 million, 37.4 acres. And the resident, how old is that house? They didn't build that 5 years
ago. About 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really nice. Okay, also, there's 130 acres on Harp Ennis, 1400 Harp Ennis, a corner of Greenwich and Harp Ennis. You notice I said Greenwich.
Not Greenwich. You're illiterate.
I am so
you're
literate.
You're so literate.
Yeah, okay. Now, here's a new listing, 1695 Grassy Springs in Versailles. If you want to be a neighbor of Pin Oak, Ashford, Diamond A, Gainsborough. So,
it's a highfalutin number.
They may have highfalutin
let
names.
Me give you Tom's website. It's biedemannbrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, brokerage. .com is number 277-2030. Great guy to do business with. He knows where every sinkhole is in Central Kentucky. Tom Biedemann, Real Estate and Auctioneers. Well, no biz like showbiz won six graded stakes at 2 and 3 for earnings of over $1,544,000. He won the Grade 2 Remsen at 2 after breaking his maiden by nearly 11 lengths at Belmont. He ran second to Scat Daddy in the Grade 1 Champagne. He was assigned 122 pounds on an experimental handicap. At 3, he won the Grade 1 Wood, Grade 2 Jamaica Handicap, the Grade 2 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Stakes, the Grade 3 Kent Breeders' Cup Stakes, and the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes, and placed in the Grade 2 Dwyer and the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth. He won 3 graded stakes on dirt, 3 graded stakes on turf, and 12 of his 13 lifetime starts were in graded stakes. One of the best of his generation, by any measure. No biz like showbiz is one of two millionaires by Albert the Great, winner himself of over $3 million. And he's out of a daughter of Stormcat from a running family. He covered 170 mares in his first two seasons at stud. He stands for $5,000 doing the foal stands and nurses. Breeding incentives may be available. Just contact Pope McLean, Phil Hager, Robert Keck at 252-3770. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com. heading down. All right. Where were we, Doc?
Well, I think Jackie was going to ask some questions.
Well, I had an incident I was going to relate, because I think this is, when you're around horses long enough, you see this. I had sent a horse down to a girl. She had her horses turned out in a big field, divided in half with a gate to get into the back over on the corner, as opposed to right in the middle. So she turned this new horse out with the other horses. Well, they got to running, and the other horses knew how to get in the other field. They went down there through the gap and back. He was caught on the other side of the fence from the horses he wanted to be with. She said, he's blind. He can't see. I said, no, he doesn't understand around. I said, you got to go catch him or take one of those other horses down to the other end where that gap is, because he'll never go down there and through that gap. Dogs see and understand around, but horses don't do that. They have to know that that hole is there, because he was back and forth screaming because he couldn't get to him. I thought that was interesting. There's something about that doesn't process.
Well, because they're a flight animal, they will panic.
Yeah.
And so they've got to.
That's the worst thing when we have a loose horse out here. Some of these horses, something will happen and they get loose, you know, they drop right. a rider, they'll stumble. Right. Some of them will just get out there and kind of play.
Yeah.
And run around, you know, and look for a place to go to the barn. But every now and then you'll see one that's running scared.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are trouble. Boy, you better stay out of their way and pray for the outriders to catch them.
Yeah. And that always amazes me how the outriders do catch them.
I know.
Yeah, we've got some good outriders.
You can't catch anything on foot, but you can catch them with a horse something that they know they're supposed to be with kind of is a horse, and the horse they'll let a horse come up to them.
Now, the horse that Susie's got out here is an old racehorse.
Rock.
Rock, yeah. He's got some speed. And boy, he knows. He usually sees the loose horse before the outrider, or we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows. And he goes, boy. You better hang on. Because he knows exactly what to do, and he gets it done.
Well, I've always been amazed that a fit racehorse, I mean, those outrider horses are reasonably fit, but they're not like a, you know, training every day. But they've got to have all these reserves we talked about, the spleen, the heart, everything else, that they kick in because they know.
Yeah.
And they knew all those reserves to run down that other horse, and they do it.
Yeah. They do it.
It's amazing.
Of course, you got to train them, you know. Susie's a pro at that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's been out here since, oh, Lord, Domino was a foal.
Oh, you better not. He didn't mean it, Susie.
She was out here before we were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Well, the thing about the whole gist of it is it's an amazing animal. It just is amazing animal. And not that the others aren't.
Yeah.
The other species, but their versatility is unrivaled.
Well, you see now these programs like Lisa Malloy's.
New Vocations.
New Vocations, you know.
She gets them right off the track. Turns them out for a day, maybe, two.
And right back on them.
She gets on them.
Right.
Trail rides and jumps them in 3 or 4 days. Yeah, little jumps.
I was always told that you had to let them down and, you know, give them a year from now off the track or something like that. But Lisa takes them, and within 2 weeks or 3 weeks,
they're ready to go.
She's got them eating out of her hand, literally following her around.
They're just a very adaptable, malleable species.
They want to get along.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. And they've settled this world, you know.
Yeah.
And I say world because
They were on every continent except, did Australia have horses way back? I don't think so.
I don't know.
They all rode kangaroos.
Posting very high.
All right.
Well, thank you much.
Thank you, Dr. Bob.
All right. Where the river runs north.
Yeah, all right. And when did Michael say he's going to show up? Or is he going to show up?
He's one of those flight animals that is in a panic mode.
He doesn't know where the gate is. He can't find it.
He said he would be late. Now, that could be Tuesday.
That's true.
Or next week.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're not going to lose any sleep over it.
Thank you.
Well, if you want a runner that excels around two turns, look to Invisor. And he is siring runners. He's the sire of 18 starters in his first crop to race, which have won a place. 70% of the wins have come around two turns. Here's some samples. 516 won a $65,000 maiden special with Aqueduct on March 14th. In his first try, going a mile and an eighth after posting a second and a third. High compression broker maiden by 14 lengths. And Delaware Park in her first start beyond a mile. Holy Invader won by 13 lengths at Parks, going a mile and 70 yards. Came back on March 20 to take a 1 mile, $30,000 starter allowance. Midnight Invader broke his maiden at a mile and is placed in two stakes. Photon won going a mile at Gulfstream. Princess Kia won going a mile at Golden Gate. And the list just keeps growing. Of course, they win sprinting too. Well, that filly-like expression has three starts in New York this year, all at six furlongs, and has two wins and a second, breaking her maiden by seven lengths. She's looking for stakes. So, here come the Invisors. Horse of the year, number one in the world, Invisor, at Shadwell Farm for $20,000 live foal. Inquiries into stallion manager Ken Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen down in Paris, who owns, of course, Quillen Tack and Leather. Who was I talking to? Somebody just yesterday about Quillen. They were talking about what a great shop it was. And it really is. I mean, they've got a great leather department down there. They sell more leathers than any other tack shop in the world, I would imagine. Close to 20,000 a year. And they're first-class work and first-class people to do business with. And they have a great gift shop, too. We're too cheap to buy new, and so we take them in there and get them repaired. And usually, sometimes they do it just while you're standing there. They're great people to do business with. Log on to their website. It's Quillen.com, Quillin.com. And whatever you need, and they've got all kinds of tack supplies and you can buy your worm and medicine or whatever right there at Quillen Tack and Leather. I'll tell you where they are. You're going in the Lexington Road into Paris, and you go to the, third stoplight, and it's right on your left. Quillen, Leather, and Tack. And it's fun to go in there. I think tours go in there now during the summer. I think they
Yes, they do.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's a stop on the tours.
Great gift shop.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun to see all the stuff they make.
Yeah, well, Bellamy Road is a Grade 1 stakes winner and a proven Grade 1 sire. He won the Grade 1 Wood by an astounding 7.5 lengths in record time. And he's the sire of the 2011 Wood Memorial winner, Toby's Corner. He's earned over $744,000 to date. He has also sired two graded stakes winners at Saratoga, Position Limit in the Grade 2 Adirondack, George's Angel in the Grade 3 Schuylerville, Victoria's Wildcat, winner of the Grade 2 Eight Bell Stakes at Churchill Downs, plus four other stakes winners. So Bellamy Road sign runners. A stakes winner 2 and 3 of over $811,000. Bellamy Road and Unbridled Song were called the two best horses I ever trained by Hall of Fame trainer Nick Zito. And he stands for $20,000 doing the foal stands and nurses. And there's a 5% discount if you pay that fee by November 1. Your inspection's invited. Just get in touch with Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett over at Windstar Farm. 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you'd never cheat on me.
All right, we're going to have to get that. We are going to have to get that book. Yeah, there's a picture of old Terry right there holding that snake.
I know, the great white hunter picture.
Shot that snake in our crawl space and took it out.
Yeah.
I told him, don't you charge me for doing that now, because I had to furnish the ammunition. I don't think he bought that.
Do
you?
I don't think he did either.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah, it's a great picture. If I can figure out how to put pictures up, I may have to put that one up. That's pretty good.
You want to do some announcements?
Oh, sure. That was just...
We're going to take you up to the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Now,
what time is it?
Doing this... Well... You can start, and then I'll interrupt.
Okay.
So what is it?
No, nothing new. Yeah, right.
Nothing new there.
Okay. Joyce Princefield's Bally High Show Stable is going to have summer camps for 2012. The beginner to intermediate riders is June 18th to the 22nd. Equitation Boot Camp for the serious competitor is July from the 9th to the 13th. And listen to this one, Adult Camp for adults of all levels. Evenings, July 30th to August 3rd. Can I go?
Are you adult?
Yeah.
Of all levels.
Of all levels.
Oh, you reached a certain level, honey.
Anyway, Joyce is J.B., Joyce Brinsfield, J.B. Bally High at AOL.com, and her number's 948-2632. Now, to get the thing going, she's starting with a schooling, no-thrills schooling jumper show, April 7th. Now, what day is that? That must be a week, 2 weeks from today, I think. Yeah, I think that's right. Or is that a Sunday?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you see on that?
April...
That's March. March, the last day of March is...
27th, you say?
No, 7th.
Well, it's right there.
Turn it... That's March. Turn the page.
Well, there's an April one on there, too.
Yeah, I know.
The 7th is Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Keeneland opened Friday.
Oh, okay.
The 6th.
So, Keeneland opens Friday the 6th, and... The 7th, 2 weeks from today, is the schooling show. It's just a lot of fun. 15 classes, $10, small ribbons, blah, blah, blah. Same place. And there's not going to have a concession stand, so you're going to have to bring your own beer and a folding chair, as they say. High Hope Volunteer Meeting. Next meeting's Wednesday, March 26th at 6 o'clock. They're going to put it in the CKRH facility again. Go in, turn left, go up, look for the All-Tech Arena on your left, go down, and on the right, Secretariat Center, and CKRH building is the next one on the right. If you got any silent auction items, bring them, and bring in any ads that you have sold. They'll have food and beverages. That used to be Cokes and pizza. I don't know what they got going now. They need volunteers for the silent auction. The stick horse races. Now, the stick horse races are races for little kids. It's a lot of fun. Kids just love it. They have need volunteers for the children's area, the merchandise tent, the members' pavilion, boxes, and the hospitality tent.
There's no stakes.
So as many people come as possible the Wednesday and the Saturday before to help with jump signs, patrol judging, and all that good stuff. So, that
interruption
is,
time.
Okay, wait a minute. Jessica Oldham Stith, High Hope, 9679444, or highhopesteeplechase.com.
Well, Tisnow was represented by another graded stakes winner last weekend. The list of superior stakes winners by Tisnow just keeps on growing. Two of the best in at Spencer Farm, Tisway and Tis Wonderful. Tisway won two grade one stakes last year, the Whitney Invitational, the Metropolitan. He was a finalist for Horse of the Year. In the Met, he ran one of the fastest dirt miles in history, 1:32.4. And he retired with earnings over $1,359,000. He's standing his first season at stud for $25,000. Tis Wonderful is the most precocious son of Tis Now at stud. He was undefeated at two, posted wins in two graded stakes at Churchill Downs. That would be the grade two Kentucky Jockey Club stakes and the grade three Iroquois. First crop of two-year-olds. And they're certainly attracting attention. A Tis Wonderful colt sold for $525,000 at the recent OBS March sale. Went to Stone Street Stables. Kenny McPeak, who has selected a number of superior runners at auction, including Curlin, bought several last year, and others went to stables like Dogwood Stables and Stone Street Farm, Ken and Sarah Ramsey, Sagamore Farm, JMS Stables. So they're going in good hands, and he has the numbers in his favor. He covered 152 mares in his first season at stud, 142 in his second, 148 last year. Tis Wonderful stands for $12,500, and the fees are payable when the stud foal stands and nurses. And ask about breeding incentives. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, or Ned Topfin. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I want to tell you guys out there about equine savings, and you need to pay attention to this because you can they deliver top products and you can really save some money. And here's something that's important to know. There's no membership fees and no dues. It's just great discounts on the best products. And you can, you know, for instance, you have a Toro and Exmark equipment through Equine Savings. You receive savings up to 28%, up to 28% off Toro and Exmark. So those discounts are, and it's mowing time. So you better, if you want to buy a new one, there's a place to go. Those are commercial mowers, of course, genuine discounts, no coupons, no hassles, just an easy-use program with savings in all the equine world. And if you're going to paint this year, farmpaint.com, for industrial coatings, including the best fence paint, we're using it out here at the Thoroughbred Center now. They're painting rails out here in it using fencepaint.com. That's where you go. They've got Arbico Organic Pest Control, Commonwealth Technology, Office Depot. Jackie, we better latch on to that one.
Yep.
Boston Steel for custom-built.
Yeah, because we don't have bugs. Go ahead.
Custom-built water tankers and everything. Now, this is Steve Anderson's out. Steve's getting to be the most popular guy out here. He brings donuts. And he came out. He was free. All the Outriders were eating donuts. And, you know, the other day came out here while we were clocking. And anyway, let me tell you how to get in touch with Steve. Steve Anderson, great guy to talk to. And give you phone numbers here. Let's see, 502 number 370-5315 or 502-863-7227. But best thing to do is to log on to the website, and it's an easy one, equinesavings.com. What have you got to lose? I mean, you join for nothing, it doesn't cost you anything, and you get discounts.
That works for me.
So, anyway, just tell Steve that old Ursula said to give him a call. All right, Jackie, you want to continue? We got something.
Speaking of donuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My good friend from Calumet.
Yeah.
Came by with donuts today.
Yeah.
Ressie's over there scoffing them now.
Bill Whitman, listen, let me tell you what. I picked up one just because it was chocolate. That thing was twice the size of a regular donut. I'm set up.
Bill Whitman, who manages that, he was on the show last week.
Yeah, the real cowboy.
He's a real cowboy. Yeah.
I mean,
I thought he was.
He started talking about riding cattle and all that junk in the high country, and old Holly's face lit up. The real deal. Thank him for those donuts.
Yeah, Bill, thank you very much.
Okay, back
I've got
to me.
I got an invitation to go out there. I want to go out and look at that graveyard.
Well, and
there.
You got to take that book that Admiral Markey wrote out there and just let him have it because it kind of belongs there.
It's even autographed copy.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it belongs out there. Okay, man.
Now, should I do some more of this or what?
Yeah, I guess so.
Gordon. Did you go through three right there?
I don't know. Did I? Yeah, did I? Yeah.
Okay, we're on schedule. Oops, dropped a piece of paper. Oops. Anyway, next meeting of the farm managers will be, the speaker will be Alan J. Ruggles, DVM. He's going to talk about fracture management in foals and what can be fixed. It will be April 6th. No, I lied. The next meeting is April 10th. You have to make reservations by the 6th. Dinner's at 6:45. It's at the Red Mile, as I said. $20 for members, $30 for guests. Go to ktfmc.org. He's with Root and Riddle, by the way. He was at New Bolton and Ohio State and all that kind of stuff. He's got all kind of letters after his name. Here's one I picked up. A decision by the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association's American Graded Stakes Committee to withdraw the ban on this year's two-year-old graded stakes races. How about that?
Yeah, very good.
Very good. Well, this thing's a crushing blow. I don't think it's a crushing blow. I think it makes a lot of sense. So, isn't that good? I thought that was interesting, but I thought the little editorial comment on the end of the sentence was interesting, too.
Let's see that. Go ahead.
Okay, 4,800 fourth graders from Central Kentucky are going to attend a live equine presentation created just for them on March 29th at the All-Tech Arena. They meet up to 6,000 students from 55 schools. Bourbon, Clark, Fayette, Grant, Madison, Montgomery, Scott, and Woodford are enrolled. It's part of their literacy program. They're going to talk about the war horse, the book, and the movie, all that good stuff. So if your kid's not signed up to go, you might want to call Molly Jameson, 509-1915. This year at the High Hope Steeplechase, which is Sunday, May 20th, they are having for the first time the Sportswoman's Challenge Race for the Cure. The High Hope Steeplechase and Susan G. Komen group are going to have this, a mile race for lady riders and on their sport horses, fox hunters, eventers, hunter jumpers, etc. They have to be sponsored, and they have to have local Thoroughbred Farm silk. So if you... Oh, they're going to, of course, go to our McCarthy's downtown Irish pub. They're going to have the post position draw May 18th. Now, you got Friday the 20th to enter sport horse types, fox hunters, eventers, hunters, jumpers, preferably owned and are competed on by the rider. It's a mile with a pace setter. It's $500 entry fee. So if they get a bunch of entrants, that's a lot of money, all that. They're going to get saddle pads, trophies, and it'll be 5:30. It'll be the last race after the regular sanctioned steeplechase stuff. So that's fun. Let's see. How much time have I got? Spring Civilian Equine Sensory Clinic at Masterson on May 19th. If you're interested, that's a good one. That's the mounted police, and they teach horses not to be afraid of whatever you run into. So that's a good thing. Masterson, March 18th. That's done. April 6th to 8th, Spring Bay Horse Trials will be entries closed March the 20th. That's the sign of spring. And April 14th and 15th, Masterson Equestrian Trust Benefit Show. If you're interested and you want more information, get a hold of Ari Vanderheiden at 588-5021.
All righty.
From the Toyota on Nicholasville Studio, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
The top price 2-year-old at the recent Barrett sale was Empire Maker. That's because horsemen know that Empire Maker sires runners, and the best of his 7 Grade 1 stakes winners is Pioneer of the Nile. Pioneer of the Nile won Grade 1 stakes at 2 and again at 3. He earned over $1,634,000. Empire Maker won the classic Belmont Stakes, and Pioneer of the Nile's Dam, Star of Goshen, by Lord of War, won stakes at Churchill Downs. His first foals are yearlings. He stands for $15,000, due when the foal stands and nurses at Vinery, Kentucky. Home also of Congrats, Kodiak Cowboy, Limehouse, More Than Ready, Pure Prize, who sired another stakes winner just last weekend, incidentally, and Street Hero. Your inspection's invited, and while there, ask about the state-of-the-art facilities for care of the thoroughbred, from the breeding shed to the winner's circle, at Vinery, Kentucky, Vinery, New York, and Vinery, Florida. Just call 455-9388. And as for John Gasper, John Grant Williams, Francis Relihan, or Steve Castanola, and check the website at vinery.com. Need a Hopewell in there.
And I moved to Bourbon County about 25 years ago. We checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota on Nicholasville Studios, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville! What price sells cars?
Well, March 17 at Santa Anita, the grade one $300,000 Santa Margarita Invitational was won by Include Me Out, a four-year-old filly. She's by Include. Bibba Bird and C. Jones and sold as a yearling for $150,000. Include Me Out is two for two this year. She went into the Santa Margarita off of win in the grade two La Canada Stakes at Santa Anita. That same day at Oak Lawn, She's All In by Include ran second in the grade three Azari Stakes, her third stakes placing of the year. She won three stakes last year, two the year before. Include Me Out is the fifth grade one stakes winner, side by Include. Six others have placed in grade one stakes, including Open Water in the grade one Las Virgin Stakes this year. That's why you should always take a good look at the Includes when they walk into the sales ring. Include a grade one stakes winner and a grade one sire. 12,500 live foal of Mr. and Mrs. Baird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Ask about possible breeding incentives. Check the website, airdriestud.com. The Airdrie Stallions, your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
All right, well, we're going to do something a little different today. Normally we have a guest on at this time, and we're going to have several guests on, all but one of whom are deceased. Dr. Bill McGee is still with us, bless his heart. We're coming up on Man of War's birthday, and as a reminder of that, what a great racehorse he was and how much people thought about him the world over, I'm going to replay a radio broadcast. It's a little on the rough side now because it was taped back in 1947, it's a little staticky, but you can hear some really wonderful people talking. Among them will be, the first will be Ira Dryman. Now, Mr. Dryman had Gallagher Farm, which is now the site of Victory Haven Training Center out on the Russell Cave Road. And that's, of course, where Polynesian stood at stud and where Native Dancer was conceived. So he's kind of the master of ceremonies there that day. And then Mr. Charlie Sturgill is going to talk, and he was the head of the Chamber of Commerce. And he owned Sturgill Motors. It was on the corner of High Street and Limestone, right down there. And sold Pontiacs. I bought several of them from him. And Tom Sturgill and Don Sturgill, his sons. Don, I know them both real well. I was very close to Don, and passed away a few years ago. He was a very close friend of mine, a lawyer. He was a lawyer, incidentally, for the Kentucky State Racing Commission for a long time. All the HBPA, too, I'm pretty sure of that. Mr. A.B. Hancock, Jr., that's Bull Hancock. Of course, Claiborne Farm, Master Claiborne Farm, but he was president of the Thoroughbred Club of America at this time. Leslie Combs II of Spendthrift Farm, who was chairman of the Kentucky State Racing Commission at the time of this Man of War's death. Mr. Louis Lee Hagen, who was the president of Keeneland. Mr. Joe Estes, who was the editor of the Blood Horse magazine, and he devised the average earnings index, incidentally. Wonderful person. Mr. Neville Dunn, who was with the Thoroughbred Record, which was the older of the two magazines, and is now the Thoroughbred Times. It evolved into the Thoroughbred Times. Mr. Patrick O'Neill, who was the manager of Faraway Farm, and Dr. Bill McGee of Haggard Davidson McGee, and Dr. McGee, of course, was Man of War's veterinarian. So of course, Man of War died on November 1 of 1947. I was there with my father, and it was a big crowd, I guess 2,000-3,000 people. So here we go. All right, if you're ready for that, let it rip down at the studio.
Gentlemen, in the public interest, radio station WLAP presents a broadcast of the burial services of Man of War, America's Great. Our microphone is located at the grave at Faraway Farm, where the mighty runner and sire lived most of his 30 years prior to his death last Saturday. The master of ceremonies for the burial services is Mr. Ira Dryman, well-known Kentucky horse breeder and farmer. Here now is Mr. Dryman.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered here today and pay tribute to a great soldier, one whose influence was felt by all groups and all peoples around the world. I would like, however, to think of this not as a funeral in the usual sense, but as a celebration, an expression of our appreciation for the long life and the very useful life Man of War gave to this community, to the state of Kentucky, and to the horse industry in this country. One of the groups so benefited by Man of War's life is the city of Lexington, and we have today the president of the Board of Commerce, Charles Sturgis.
Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, for a quarter of a century, Lexington has been known as the home of the greatest horse the world has ever known, Man of War. Most of the countries of the world have come here to see him. For almost 25 years, an average of 50,000 visitors each year have come to this barn and registered. Countless thousands of other visitors to the barn did not sign. Official commissions from many foreign countries, horse buyers, teachers, and students of livestock and universities and colleges from the country, army commissions, foreign goodwill diplomats, and many other groups have made long journeys to see Man of War. We know of commissions of horsemen and buyers from South American countries, Mexico, Germany, Japan, and other countries who have come to the Bluegrass in numbers to see Man of War and other horses here. Prior to the war, the Chamber of Commerce arranged an average of 35 convention tours to the horse farm, with a stop at faraway farm to see Man of War as the crowning feature. It is estimated that more than 130,000 convention delegates and friends made these trips. At other large gatherings, including conventions, football games, race meets, horse shows, horse sales, and etc., hundreds of visitors made these events an opportunity to see Big Red. From a business standpoint, Man of War was Lexington's chief tourist attraction, bringing to this community thousands of persons who spent substantial sums here for hotel, transportation, restaurant, gasoline, and other expenses, souvenirs and merchandise of many kinds. Man of War has helped to make the Bluegrass a greater horse country, doing his part to advertise and publicize the advantages of this region as a breeding and raising community. This has resulted in the investment here of millions of dollars and the expenditure of millions more for labor and supplies. He has had the foremost part in making Lexington the mecca of the horse-loving world. Horsemen and school children alike love Man of War. The Chamber of Commerce each year has sent pictures of Man of War and folders telling about the horses of the Bluegrass to the hundreds of school children scattered all over the United States. We, the business people of Lexington, in addition to our deep affection for the old horse, are indebted to him for thousands of dollars in business which he has had a great part in creating for us. We shall miss him, however, not for the profit he brought, but because he was a living symbol of our great outdoor life, clean sportsmanship, that charm of the Bluegrass which makes all people love it and the great horses it has produced. In the passing of Man of War, we have lost a friend as well as a good business partner. While we have lost man of war, we have not lost his bloodline, and for the sake of Lexington's fame as the center of the world's leading horse breeding region, may this blood be kept alive by thoroughbred breeders. Man of War has many famous sons, War Admiral, Crusader, and scores of others. But probably his greatest contribution to the fame and profit of the bluegrass today is through his daughters, which so far this year have produced the winners of nearly $800,000. Thus, through his sons and daughters, Lexington and the bluegrass may expect to continue to reap fame and fortune in the horse world for all the generations to come, and to continue to attract the tourists who always will want to see the nation's best horses. We are indebted to Mr. Riddle, who made it possible for Man of War to remain one of our leading citizens for a quarter of a century. And we are grateful for the beautiful memorial statue which is to be erected on this site, which was the home of Big Red. Mr. Riddle's generosity and his interest in this community is appreciated by the business and professional men of Lexington. May we join him in paying this last tribute to our friend and benefactor, Man of War.
Thank you, Charlie. Another very large group directly affected by the influence of Man of War is a group of breeders of thoroughbred horses. And the breeding fraternity is represented today by the president of the Thoroughbred Club of America, who also is a director of the National Association of Thoroughbred Clubs, A.B. Hancock, Jr.
The name of Man of War is a household word wherever the thoroughbred is loved and the sport of racing is practiced. It seems a very short while ago that I went with my father to the old association track to welcome home Big Red. It was a much happier day. In the 27 years that have ensued, he has indelibly stamped himself on the type of the American thoroughbred, and he has made that thoroughbred the greatest horse, I think, in the world. He is American right down to the base of his toes, and we all hate to see him go. His sons are producing, his daughters are producing, and we will never lose the influence that he has brought to us.
We have talked about Man of War as the sire or breeding horse. He was also the outstanding racehorse. We have with us today the chairman of the Kentucky State Racing Commission, who is also past president of the National Association of State Racing Commissioners, Leslie Combs.
Paying homage to Man of War, I think the remark made about him by his old groom Will Harbor very appropriate when he said he had no equal on the track or in the stud. Then he would recite the races that his guests have won. This is a very sad day for all of us in the bluegrass, as Man of War, or Big Red, as he was affectionately known, has done more for this community than others.
Another branch of the racing industry is represented by the president of the King, L.L. Hagen II. We are gathered here to pay final respect to the greatest of all thoroughbreds. His record on the track is unique. As a two-year-old, he won 9 of his 10 starts and suffered 1 defeat, horse upset. As a three-year-old, he started 11 times and was 11 times the winner, including the $80,000 match race with Sir Barton, which he won by 7 lengths. Big Red was without doubt the greatest of his time and unquestionably the greatest known thoroughbred of all time. In closing, I would like to pay final respects for the racetrack of America to the greatest champion of them all. Probably more lines have been written about Man of War than any other horse. Representing the press, the horse paper, first is J.A. Estes of the Blood Horse.
It hardly seems necessary to remark that in all the history of thoroughbred breeding, the greatest story is that of Man of War. I have written it laboriously in the last few days, and I have had to stop once in a while and brush away a tear. Now that may sound silly, but it happens. I'm sure it's happened to a good many of you. There was something more than a horse about this horse, and people became extremely fond of him. I have never been able to account for that. I only see it happening time and time again. A few years ago, a minister, I think he lived in Minnesota, walked into the office, and without announcing his name or identifying himself in any other way, he held up his two hands and he said, "I have just put these two hands on Man of War." And we laughed. That was, we are used to people feeling that reverent about Man of War, and it, you know, sometimes you don't know whether it's reverence or whether you go a little too far or not. But I do know that this horse had a greater place in the hearts of people than any horse that's ever lived in America. They loved him almost as you love the dog that's been with you for years and years, and you know everything he does. The things that people remember about Man of War are the little things, when they came to see him, their own special fondnesses for him. And I am proud to say that I carry away a great many of those, and I shall not be ashamed of any of any of them.
Another representative of the press is Neville Dunn of the Thoroughbred Record.
The growth and expansion of racing and breeding have caused us to regard these activities as business operations. But racing and breeding have always been and always will be in principle the greatest sport that we of America have the privilege of enjoying. The vast throng of you people who have gathered here today proves this statement beyond any doubt. For you have gathered not to pay respect to a money-making machine, but to an animal who lived and died a gentleman. Man of War has truly won immortality, in a measure perhaps greater than any of his contemporary human beings. For in his own lifetime, he drafted the pages of future history by siring sons and daughters who will carry on his blood as long as a thoroughbred horse is bred and raised. The flesh of Man of War is no longer activated by the indomitable will and his heart, but his spirit of generosity and courage has passed into his descendants and will be passed on in turn by them to their descendants. It can never be extinguished. His heart, he will always be remembered as such.
This would not be complete without the manager of Faraway Farm. I'd like to present Patrick O'Neill.
Speaking in for Mr. Reddle and myself, I wish to express our appreciation of the tribute offered here and all over the world, all over the country, and in foreign lands, in honor of Man o' War, I thank you.
You have seen in the press something about the passing of Man o' War, of course, and some statements credited to Dr. William McGee. We would like to present him to you, Dr. William McGee.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's little that I can add to what has been said about this great horse. I have always felt that although my good friend Mr. Riddle actually owned him, in reality he belonged to American sportsmen everywhere who consider performance the prime criterion of greatness. I'm sure all of us here today feel a little better inside to be able to be here and see this final tribute paid to such a deserving figure. And I'm sure that Mr. Riddle, were able to be with us today, would share this same feeling.
As was stated in the beginning, I hope we will look on this not as a funeral in the usual sense, but as a celebration. Celebrating our appreciation for the great things Man o' War did for us and other places. Man o' War was foaled at August Belmont's Nursery Stud on the Georgetown Pike on March 29, 1917. He died here at Faraway Farm, November 1, 1947. It was recognized from the beginning that the leggy, large-frame chestnut colt by Fairplay out of Mahuba was a good horse. Major Belmont was convinced that he was the best of the crop. And when he decided, because of pressure of war work, to sell his yearling, he thought for a time of holding Man o' War, now named by Mrs. Belmont, out of the sale. He had, of course, no suspicion of the towering class of this colt. He merely felt a horseman's reluctance to let a youngster go of such high promise. But on July 24th, 1918, Major Belmont wrote to Mrs. Kane a letter which is still preserved in the files of the Blood Horse. It says in part, "As I already notified you by telegram, I have decided to add Man o' War to the sale." He held out 5 yearlings out of this sale, all yearling fillies, and all of them became great producers. This clearly indicates he was right in his first desire to keep Man o' War. But due to the pressure of war work, he decided to sell it. The colt was sold about 3 weeks later. So he did not have the preparation given the other yearlings and was not sleek and fat as the other. Mr. Lewis Fustel, then training a small stable for Mr. Riddle, saw Man o' War at the nursery stud here at that farm and suggested to Mr. Riddle that he buy the Fair Play colt in the Saratoga sales. Mr. Riddle bought him for $5,000. Sounds low today, but he was the third highest priced colt in the Belmont consignment. Had the contending bidder bought this colt that day, Man o' War would probably have been a hunter and not raced on the flat. The colt was broken at Saratoga and then sent to Mr. Riddle's farm at Berlin, Maryland, for the winter. And it was there that the trainer, Fustel, watching the horse's tremendous reach, began to suspect that he had something out of the ordinary. He was a favorite when he made his first start at Belmont Park and won the race by 6 lengths in front of a field of maidens in 59 seconds for the 5/8 mile. He was always a favorite after that and easily won all of his 2-year-old races except one when he was in a pocket and couldn't get out in time to make his usual run. At 3, Man o' War won all of his races, meeting all comers, and in one race he won by an estimated 100 lengths. Time will not permit recounting his great performances, and most people have read about them anyway,
But it must be said that in the entire career of 21 races, he had to compete against only 51 horses. Some horses meet that many in a matter of a few weeks in these days. Of course, it was the champion's manifest superiority from the day he first appeared in public that narrowed his opposition to only those comparatively few horses who could be thought by their fondest admirers to have a chance against him. Man of War had several jockeys, but it did not seem to make any difference who was on his back. Nothing in the way of the horse flesh could beat him that year, and only one horse was ever to extend him. As a racehorse, Man of War had no equal when he was a three-year-old. He was retired from racing at the height of his glory that fall. He was sent to Lexington January 27, 1921, spent the night in Mr. E.R. Bradley's barn at the old association track, came out the next morning to canter past the crowd in his last exhibition under saddle. Then he went to High Knot Stock Farm under the supervision of Miss Elizabeth Dangerfield and was moved to Faraway Farm in 1922. His record as a sire is also unusual and equals that as a racehorse. Many of his get are numbered among the great and will continue to carry on now that the wonder horse has gone to his reward. Big Red was known everywhere and had more visitors, caused more people to come to Lexington or even to Kentucky than any other attraction. The death of Man of War marks the end of an era in American turf and breeding history. He broke many records as a racehorse, was without parallel as a sire, and lived longer by far than does the average horse. Few will remember him as a foal, or a yearling, or even on the racetrack. But many thousands will remember him as they saw him and recognized in him at once the spark of greatness. The horsemen who come from all over the world to see him will remember him vividly. The massive body, the wide sweeps of muscle, the great chest, the die-cut perfection of his legs and feet, the high head, the imperial air, the feel of power and majesty. They will not look to see another one like it. And over the world, a scattered million of princes and paupers who have gone out so far away to see him will remember the look in his eyes, the ceremonial dignity with which he held himself for their inspection. They will remember, too, the patience and eloquent recital of his worshipful groom, the late Will Harbert, who spoke of Big Red as the mostest horse and often said, "There is just one Man of War." The devoted comradeship between this horse and his groom was apparent to all who visited Big Red. Harry B. Scott, manager of Faraway Farm for almost 14 years, said, and I quote, "Man of War was the smartest horse I ever knew, and no other horse got next to me as he did." Ed Wilder, the secretary of the Board of Commerce of Lexington, said, "I have seen tears come to the eyes of men and women who have looked upon him, and I have seen adults and children as well thrilled to the touch of him. I have seen famous horsemen from this and from foreign countries pass their hands over him with profound admiration. They were gazing upon greatness in a simple form, a big horse with a big heart who did not know how to be anything but kind and affectionate." It has been stated that Mr. Riddle was once asked what price he would ask for Man of War. He meditated a while and then he replied, "He is beyond price. I regard myself simply as his custodian, holding him in trust for the benefit of the thoroughbred of the future." Churchill Downs and other racetracks at this time are lowering the flag, asking the people to stand in silent tribute while taps are played. And we have word, and I quote, 3,000 soldiers of the U.S. Army's 1st Cavalry Division will present arms in Tokyo Thursday evening while taps are blown in a military memorial service for Man of War, who was made an honorary colonel of this division last March during a recruiting drive. Truly, Man of War was a memorable horse. almost from the beginning. He touched the imagination of men, and they saw different things in him. But one thing they all remembered, that he brought an exaltation into their hearts.
Well, last Saturday at Oaklawn, the Grade II $500,000 Rebel Stakes was won by Secret Circle, a three-row colt by Eddington. And the next day, Flat Bowl by Flatter won the time-tested stakes in New York. Even money favored in a field of 12, Secret Circle is a leading contender for the upcoming Grade I Arkansas Derby. He's won 5 of 6 starts, including the Grade III Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn. His only loss, a second, first time out this year in the Grade III Sham at Santa Anita. Winner last year, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Churchill and the Jack Goodman Stakes at Santa Anita, Secret Circle has earned nearly $819,000. Flat Bowl score in the time tested boosted his earnings to over $329,000. He was sold as a yearling for $150,000. Flatter, a proven Grade I sire and a son of AP Andy, stands for $15,000. Grade I Millionaire Eddington for $5,000. And both stand at Claiborne Farm. Fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. See the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
The Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Bob Baffert called Looking at Lucky a great athlete, one of the best horses I've ever had. And take note of this, he went on to say, I wish that all horses were as sound as him. Looking at Lucky was a champion two-year-old colt of his year. He won 5 of his 6 starts at 2, 4 graded stakes, 3 grade 1, and was a not-so-lucky second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. The next year, he again won 4 graded stakes, 2 grade 1, the Classic Preakness, and the Haskell Invitational, and has retired with earnings of over $3,307,000. Looking at Lucky is by Smart Strike, who has twice ranked number 1 on the North American sire list and among the top 10 8 times, and out of Private Feeling, a multiple graded stakes winner. His second dam produced 2 graded stakes winners and his grand dam of 2 champions. His third dam was a grade 1 stakes winner. This is some kind of running family. First foals by Looking at Lully arriving this year, and he stands for $30,000 payable when the foal stands and nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Home of 3 of the top 10 sires on the 2011 general sire list, including champion sire Giants Causeway, who's right at the top again this year. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore. All righty, moving right along, which we'd better do.
I'm telling you.
We're running out of time here. This is from my good friend David Schweitzer over at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. And these are the Kentucky, the breeders of Kentucky Bred Stakes winners last weekend. Six graded stakes, five of them won by Kentucky Breds. The Santa Margarita Invitational, grade one, include me out, of course, bred by Brandon C. Jones and by his home stallion, include. The Rebel Stakes, grade two, down at Oaklawn Park, or over at Oaklawn, I should say, Secret Circle. He is by the Claiborne stallion, Eddington, and was bred by Wilmot Stables. Moving right along, let me turn the page here. The Honey Fox Stakes at the Gulfstream Park winner was Tappet's Fly, bred by Frank L. Jones, Jr. The Excelsior Stakes, Maryland's Guy, won that one. Maryland's Guy was bred by Chesapeake Farm and Mary Odom. The Azari Stakes, grade three, at Oaklawn Park. The winner was Tiz My Sue. It's another one of those Tiz Nows. This one bred by Chris Wren. Of course, Tiz Now, one of my favorite horses. And incidentally, he carries on the Man of War line.
Yes.
Traces right back and tail mail to Man of War. And so, breed to his sons. Let's keep it going.
Yeah.
Breed to him, as far as that goes. Bred by Chris Rand, and of course, Tiz Now is at Windstar Farm. New Orleans Lady Stakes went to Harvey DeGraw, who was bred by Nancy Dillman. The OBS Championship Stakes, Andrews Gale won that, bred by Stonewall Farm Stallions. The Irish O'Brien Stakes was not bred by Kentucky Bred. It was not a Kentucky Bred. The Private Term Stakes at Law went to Raconteur, bred by G. Watts Humphrey Jr. The Ben Salem Stakes at Parks went to For Dang Shore, bred by McKee Stables. The Limit Stakes at Aqueduct was Zucchini Flower, bred by Albert Frasetto. The, let's see, Broad Brush Stakes, and he's keeping the Domino Sire line alive, incidentally, through Include. Broad Brush Stakes went to Street Life, bred by Mueller Thoroughbreds. The Time Tested Stakes at Aqueduct, that's a flatter. Of course, he stands over at Claiborne Farm. And this flatter coat was bred by, let's see, oh boy, I'll have to look at this real close. I don't speak real good Arabic, can't even say that. Mohammed Jawad Abdul Monsin Al Jamal.
Well, you probably got two or three of those, right?
Yeah, syllables. The Santana Mile Stakes at Santa Anita went to Canonize, bred by the JMS Stable. No, bred by Four Roses, Kentucky. That sounds like a whiskey. The Bonnie Branch Chance Stakes, Amazing Sate, won that, bred by Gainesway Thoroughbreds and David Fogg. The Abra Vaz Stakes at Delta Downs, a Wicked Vow. That's a Broken Vow, another Broken Vow. This one bred by Robert Zollier. And let's, of course, Broken Vow over at Pin Oak. The OBS Sprint Stakes went to Who is Camille, bred by Spendthrift Farm. The Wayward Last Stakes at Tampa Bay winner Arena Elvira was bred by Northwest Farms. Paint. Oh, want me to keep going?
Yeah, keep going, and then I'll do some announcements.
All right. Well, Mizzen Mass is well on his way to yet another solid year at stud. Ultimate Eagle, one of three grade one stakes winners by Mizzen Mass, has won the grade two $120,000 Stroob Stakes. That puts his earnings over $467,000. Ms. Direction has won the grade three Monrovia Stakes at, and the Clocker's Corner Stakes at Santa Anita this year. She won stakes at Del Mar last year, placed in three other stakes, two graded. She's earned over $300,000. The three-year-old colt, Lord Sinclair, is an undefeated stakes winner in France. Z Dagger, on the Derby Trail, is placed in two graded stakes at the fairgrounds. And the three-year-old filly, Wicked Miz, is stakes placed at Aqueduct. That's five stakes horses, two graded stakes winners already this year. There's always another Mizzen Mass. Grade one stakes winner and grade one sire Mizzen Mass, $12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Home also the grade one speedster First Defense. Bond Bridal Song, and inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Where are we now? Oh, okay. Well, include me out, winner of the Grade 1 $300,000 Santa Margarita Invitational, and Maryland's Guy, winner that same day, the Grade 3 Excelsior at Aqueduct, were both bred and raised by associates of McCauley Brothers. Include me out was bred by Brereton C. Jones and is by his home stallion. Include Maryland's Guy was bred by Drew Nardiello's Chesapeake Farm in partnership with Mary Odom. Congratulations from their friends at McCauley Brothers. Now, last year, clients of McCauley Brothers bred 25 individual Grade 1 stakes winners and the winners of 110 graded stakes. Well, on their way to bettering that record this year. McCauley's was the first feed mill in the nation to devote 100% of their time developing feeds and supplements for the horse. They have always been and remain the leader in their field. This single-minded devotion to the horse is paying dividends to their clients, and they would be pleased to add you to the winning team. Just get in touch with Mike Warren or David Longmire, 873-3333, or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles, McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. I want to say something nice about Jim Fitzgerald, which is easy to do because he's a nice guy. And he's a neighbor, a very good neighbor. I haven't talked to him in a while.
He's fox hunting.
Fox hunting today?
I guess so. Tonight's the hunt ball.
I don't know if they fox hunt.
And him, the man.
They get all
the
spiffied up in those red coats and go out there and that hunt ball.
Yeah.
But incidentally, if you want to go out there, I think you can get in at the gate.
Yes.
And they always have a great auction.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's at the...
I wish I had time. I'd tell you a little story about the silent auction, but maybe
have to do that another time.
I'll have to do it another time. I'm running.
It's out at the... What's the name of that place? Embassy Suites.
Okay. Anyway. That tale involves Robbie Lyons, anyway.
Well, that's a Robbie Lyons story.
Is that spelled L-Y-I-N-G? Anyway, Jim... Sorry about that, Robbie. Anyway, Jim's a good friend of mine. He owns Knott Griffin, and good friend of ours, I should say. He owns Knott Griffin Farm and Harper's Island Farm. Knott Griffin's for sale, I understand. In these days and times, who needs two farms? He's got two great farms. He developed them both. Been at the one for since 1994. And boarding, sales prep, sales, public or private, doesn't make any difference. Rehabs, he's got quality farm help. And he'd just give you some sound common sense advice if you're thinking about getting into the business. Or if you're in the business, you're not doing too good. I recommend you get in touch with Jim. He's a great guy. And let me tell you how to get in touch with him. First of all, here's his website. It's knottgriffinfarm.com, K-N-O-C-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N, farm.com. And his number in good old Bourbon County is 987-8032. All right, Jackie, you want to start in on some and more announcements?
Okay, April 14th is Bluegrass Stakes Day, and it's afterwards there will be the Bluegrass Equine Benefit for Multiple Sclerosis at the club at Spindletop. It's 100 or 150 again, single or reservations or tickets at the door. Karen McLaughlin's going to show up because he has MS. Tor doesn't know anything about his training. He just passed the 1,000-mile thing, you know,
Is that 1,000 winners? Past that 1,000 mile thing?
Oh, is that what I... it's getting late in the day.
Sorry about that, okay. Karen.
One of the sponsors...
She's no relation.
One of the sponsors is Shadwell Farms. That's very good. All right. All proceeds to benefit Karen's home chapter, Kentucky Southeast Indiana chapter of the National MS Society. If you want tickets... Now, you want more information, it's www.crystalbootslexington.org or call 294-7060, or you can always call Spindletop. I know a lot of people listen when they're in their cars, and you can't write all that stuff down, so call Spindletop, that's the easiest. TOBA, 2012 Seminars and Clinic. There will be a ownership seminar May 3rd at the Derby Museum. Let's see, the Derby is what, the 5th? Sucker you in right before the Derby, get in that spirit. Breeding Clinic, June 1 through the 3rd here in Lexington. If you want to register, go to toba.org or locally give them a call, 276-2291. Horse Park Today, Mid-South Pony Club Mounted Games Rally. Let's see. Today's the 24th, right? Tomorrow's the 25th. And the horse is still on. That exhibit that Dr. Byers said was so good is still going on. Polo, the collegiate polo tournament, will be here next Thursday. They're playing polo Tuesday and Wednesday. Also, the collegiate polo tournament goes Thursday, Friday, and Saturday next week. And next Saturday is Paul Frazier Memorial Combined Test and Dressage Show and U.S. Mounted Games Bluegrass Open. Whenever you see Paul Frazier and all that, you know spring is here. Actually, spring's a month early.
Well, if you want a runner that excels around two turns, look to Invisor. He's siring runners. He is the sire of 18 starters in his first crop of races that have won a place. Then 70% of the wins have come around two turns. Here's some examples. 516 won a $65,000 maiden special in New York on March 14 in his first try at a mile and an eighth after posting a second and a third. High Compression broke her maiden by 14 and a half lengths at Delaware in her first start beyond a mile. Holy Invader won by 13 at Parks, going a mile and 70, then came back on March 20 to take a 1 mile $30,000 starter allowance. Midnight Invader broke his maiden at a mile and placed in two stakes. Photon won going a mile at Gulfstream. Princess Kihai won a mile at Golden Gate. And that list just keeps on growing. Of course, they win sprinting, too. There's a good filly named Expression. She's looking for stakes now. She's won three starts in New York. She has three starts in New York this year, all at six furlongs, and she has two wins in a second. And broke her maiden by seven. So here come the Invisors, horse of the year, number one in the world, Invisor, Shadwell Farm, 20,000 live foal. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to talk about my friend Mort Shirazi, who trains out here at the Thoroughbred Center. Give you his number here in a minute. But I tell you what, Mort's doing, having a very good year. If you're interested in putting a horse and training out here, it's a great trace to plane for. For instance, this year he's got over 28% winners. That's a pretty highfalutin. Better than that, they finish 1, 2, 3, 86% of the time, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 100% of the time. And the thing is,
they pay back to fifth.
Well, no, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's first, second, third, or fourth. That's the bigger money.
Yes.
Anyway, so he's having a really fine year. He does it every year, though. It's pretty routine for more. And his family's been in the horse business over 100 years, and of course Mort's not quite that old, but but he used many pounds ago. He used to ride races, and he's got horses now. People, he's got a reputation of being able to work real good with problem horses, and these horses that are hitting the board for him are horses that couldn't get to the races. They had problems.
Yeah.
And Mort has straightened them out and done well with them now. He's not guaranteeing that he's going to do them all that way, but he's doing enough where, you know, he's doing very well. He's a UK grad, so he also operates a bloodstock agency. It's Shirazi Bloodstock, S-H-I-R-A-Z-I. And like I say, he's an experienced bloodstock agent also. He's used to do some bloodstocking for Lean's Inn and Pace and Stud, and he'll go anywhere, race anywhere. It doesn't make any difference. Let me give you his website. It's broncbusters.com, 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 and it's Mort Shirazi. Nice guy. Got a pretty little girl. Looks just like her mother. All righty. Moving right along here, let's see where I am. Last Saturday at Oaklawn, the great $350,000 Arazi Stakes was won by Tiz Miz Sue, daughter Tiz now. Now, Tiz Miz Sue has won two other stakes and placed in eight more, four graded, two grade ones. So she's a typical Tiz now, dead game and talented. Tiz now is also the sire of Ella Fitz, recent winner of the grade two Santa Maria Stakes at Santa Anita, her third straight stakes win. Tiz Miz Sue and Ella Fitz are just the latest in a long list of big horses. Side by Horse of the Year and Hall of Famer Tiz now listed includes eight Grade One stakes winners. One of the eight is Colonel John. He is sire's stablemate at Windstar Farm. Colonel John won stakes at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced. Earned over $1,779,000. Won the Grade One Travers, the Grade One Santa Anita Derby. Two stakes that have been noted as stepping stones for success at stud. And he was ranked number one first crop weanling sire, Keenan, last November when 10 of his weanlings sold for an average of $105,900. He was bred to 135 mares in 2010, 128 in the next year, and Colonel John stands for $15,000. Doing a foal stands and nurses is a 5% discount if you pay it by the 1st of November. And Tisnow stands for $75,000. Doing a foal stands and nurses inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett, 873-1717, and check the website at windstarfarm.com. Go ahead, Jackie. That was... You want to do something else?
I have one announcement.
One announcement?
One announcement. The Kentucky Horse Park is going to have its new statewide horse grooming contest next weekend. You pay money, you go clean up all their horses, and they give you a ribbon. Now, in a short time from now, I will announce my own grooming contest. I'll take four entries. They each pay $10, and the winner of the cleanest horse, they get $50. There you are.
Where are you going to get $50?
Yeah, well, they got four horses, four contestants at $10 each. I'll pony up another 10. Smartest thing I've ever heard, a horse grooming contest. My goodness.
You're all heart, baby. let me see there. Well, the list of Superior Stakes winners, but Tis Now just keeps on growing. Two of the best stand over at Spencery Farm, Tis Way, Tis Wonderful. Tis Way won two grade one stakes last year, the Whitney and the Metropolitan, and was a finalist for Horse of the Year. The Met, he ran one of the fastest dirt miles in history, 132-4. Ooh. And he retired with earnings over $1,359,000. He's standing his first season at stud for $25,000. Tis Wonderful is the most precocious son of Tis Now. He was undefeated at two, posted wins in two graded stakes at Churchill Downs. His first crop are two-year-olds this year, and they're really getting attention. Tis Wonderful colt sold for $525,000 at the recent OBS March sale to Stone Street Stables. Kenny McPeak, who selected a number of superior runners at auction, including Curlin, brought several last year, and others went to stables like Dogwood, Stone Street Stables, Ken and Sarah Ramsey, Sagamore Farm, JMS Stables, so they're getting in good hands. And he has the numbers in his favor. Covered 152 mares in his first season at stud, 142 in his second, 148 last year. Tis Wonderful, $12,500. Fees for both are payable when the foal stands and nurses. Ask about breeding incentives. Just might be there. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Phil, and Ed Toffee, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. One more here. I got to take care of my good buddy Steve Anderson. Oh, okay, we got a Brisson. Well, I will go ahead and do Steve. We'll just... Steve, of course, has got equine savings, and you need to learn about equine savings. This is a program where there are no dues, no membership fees. You just save money. Doesn't get any better than that. You can buy Toro or X-Mart equipment through equine savings and receive up to 28% off. Man, that's a big discount. And off the retail price, so... Gee whiz, I mean, that's some of the finest mowing equipment in the world. They also have farmpaint.com, which they use right here at the Thoroughbred Center. The painting fence is out here right with it now. Arbico Organics Pest Control, Commonwealth Technology, with copiers and scanners and supplies and document management. Office Depot. I use enough paper to keep the half a forest, keep me going. And Boston Steel for custom-built water tankers. Now, this is equine savings. Like I say, doesn't cost you anything to join. No membership fees or anything like that. The website is equinesavings.com. Go check it out or give my friend Steve Anderson a call. And let me see. Let me give you the business number. It's a 502 number. It's located down in Georgetown. 863-6000.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is Brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer stats, detailed pedigree data, risk, class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover Brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, we're having a real good month out here at the Thoroughbred Center. The trainers from out here have saddled 47 winners already this month. That's 47 winners in 23 days. And since last week's show, they have saddled 20 winners. And here are those trainers: Oscar Modica, Kellen Gorder, Karen Vecchio, Robert Sturgeon, Floyd Cobb, Tom Bergen, Jack Jones, Jim Cullen, Troy Rankin, Brian Michael, Tommy Mills, John Langemeyer, Greg Begley, Adolfo Marcias, Kellen Gorder again, Oscar Modica again, Tommy Short, Paul Garcia again, Dan Pitts, and last night at Mountaineer, Marco Castaneda. And they're doing really good out here. Jackie, you got anything you want to add to this mess before we proceed?
Well, I'll put the show up on the internet. I don't have a new video. I have to live with Michael and Doc for another week.
Can't you edit Michael out of there somehow? Doc's a nice looking guy, you know.
Very pleasant.
Hey, Michael, you're tardy. You're late.
Yeah. Well, come on out. We'll wait for you.
Yeah.
We'll be out here until, say, 4.
What's the book you've got there?
Oh, I'm reading a Benjamin Franklin book.
Oh, okay.
If you like the website, go to Lexington Computer Clinic. It's out in Hamburg in the, what's the name of that grocery? Myers.
Yeah. It's more than a grocery.
Game console repair, $44. Computer repair, everything, $99.99. It's 263-7374, and they give you lessons, even someone as I got a lesson and learned how to take care of the thing. And I
just learned how to use a VCR, and now they're not selling them anymore.
Sad, isn't it? Yeah, I'm learning to shift those gears or, you know, buggy whips and all that good stuff.
All righty, well, I think it's time to wrap it up. So we will check with you next week. And I want to thank you for listening. And I hope you enjoyed that Man of War funeral.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's
staticky, too. You can just imagine being there and everybody was in black and white and gray. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.